Hello, my name is William Cueto, and welcome to Builders of Hope, a show about young Catholic professionals who are living out their faith in all aspects of their lives, their family lives, their social lives, and their careers. Growing in the spiritual life is not just for priests and nuns. It's for all of us, as we will see through the lives of our guests who are striving to live out their faith and build a better world. Neil Siniscalchi is a 32-year-old attorney from Springfield, Massachusetts. Neil is very involved in several projects in his community. He holds several board positions and currently serves his community in a political capacity. We'll be talking to Neil about his experience as a public defender working with the disadvantaged sectors of society.
Unfortunately, Willie, I think that most lawyers just see their job as an opportunity to make money for themselves and an opportunity to, in a sense, take advantage of situations, take advantage of other people's hardship for their personal and selfish gains.
And what should the role of an attorney be, you think?
In my opinion, and I think in the opinion of the church, I think, first of all, any job that you have should be to love and to serve God and to serve your neighbors. And I think as an attorney, you have a unique opportunity to do that, to serve the poor, to serve the needy, and just to serve anybody that comes in your path for the benefit of serving other people, not for your own selfish interests. I think it's an attitude that attorneys, as well as anybody in any other walk of life, should have, and that the purpose of it is not to make money, not to get rich, but to serve other people and, as a result, serve God.
And the problem that we have, why do you think it is that attorneys don't view it the right way?
Well, I think that a lot of attorneys, I think it's just a temptation from the devil that leads people into material things, into selfish things, and the lack of perhaps a faith life of individual attorneys.
That's interesting, you know, because one of the things that, you know, I know about you is you have a very strong faith, and you know, you're speaking about the way a profession should be used. How have you attempted to, and how are you using your profession today?
Well, I'd like to answer that question really in two ways, Willie.
Sure.
I think the first way is in a general way. Okay, I was mentioning a little bit earlier that no matter what your profession is, there's honor in that profession and dignity in that if you do it out of love and out of service for other people. So even if you're cleaning toilets or raking leaves, it doesn't matter what it is, but if you're doing it for the right reason, there's dignity and honor in it. And God is going to use you for His purpose, because we have to believe that God puts us in places to do His will. And if we do it with that attitude, He's going to lead us and use us. And we may not understand it at that time, we may never understand it, but we're being used by God. And the second part of the answer, I would say, specifically to me and to law, is that in the two jobs that I've had since graduating law school, I've had a great opportunity to be with the poor and the underprivileged. With the public defender's office here in Miami, I was able to serve some of the poorest people and that there is in this country. When I first started, I was basically representing homeless people who had absolutely nothing, who were charged with small little crimes like trespass, petty theft, fighting, and small little things like that. And these are people that have never felt part of the system, have never felt any ownership really in America or the legal system, and who for the most part were rejected and abused by people in positions of authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tried to be the one person in the system that was there for them, the one person in the system that would protect their rights and look out for them, and to treat them not as I'm a superior, they're an inferior, but we are both equals here, and I'm going to respect you and treat you as a human being and with dignity that you deserve as a creature of God.
Well, I think you answered the next question I have, which is the question that a lot of people have is how can someone represent the criminals of society, right, as a public defender, and still be consistent in living a moral way of life? Because a lot of times it's especially the criminal attorneys that get that bad rap.
Yeah, I've heard it said once, Willie, and maybe this is kind of a joke, but I think it might have some accuracy to it, that if Jesus Christ were an attorney, he'd be a public defender. And I think you're standing up for the poor and the oppressed. And if you look at the global picture of justice, the most people that commit crimes because they're uneducated and they don't have the opportunities that the rest of us have. Now, certainly that doesn't justify criminal behavior, but it does give some understanding as to why they're in the situation that they're in. And but for the grace of God, you or I could be in that situation if it wasn't for the many gifts and opportunities that we've taken advantage of, that we've been given. And I think the other part of the answer is, too, that there's a system in this country, and there's a legal system, and it needs to be honest for everybody. So the poorest person, even the person accused of the most egregious crime, needs to have a system work for them accurately and all the procedures followed fairly to prevent innocent people from falling victim to the police power, the police overuse of that power.
That leads into something that I wanted to read, and that is coming from the Pope's book, Gospel of Life. And it reads like this: "We cannot think of today's tendency for people to refuse to accept responsibility for their brothers and sisters. Symptoms of this trend include the lack of solidarity towards society's weakest members, such as the elderly, the infirm, immigrants, and children." And that's exactly what you're speaking about, that in our society today, people that have the ability to help and that are in positions of power and influence are not using it to help these people who cannot come to them. You know, so what I hear you saying is it's up to us to reach out.
Absolutely, Willie. I mean, I think that we're going to be judged on how we protect our weakest members of society. And if we have the gift and the ability to do so, we should. And I think it goes back to your original question about what lawyers do and what they should do. Rather than being so concerned about our selfish interests, we should be grateful and appreciative for so many good things that we have and try to help those in a worse situation than ourselves. And we can't really separate ourselves from our poor brothers and sisters. We're all in this world together. We're all really one family. We're all creatures of God, the one Father. And if we try to separate ourselves, I think that's a lie. It's false, and we're going to have problems as a result. And these poor people that we were talking about before that don't have opportunity or education, and they commit crimes as a result, they commit crimes against other people. And that could be you or me or somebody that we know. So we become the victim. And so we need to take care of them to prevent harm to ourselves. It's almost a selfish thing in a way. So if we protect them, we build them up, we build ourselves up, and we build up a better society for all of us.
So what you're saying is these people, let's say in legislature, the highest levels that are making law, if they don't think about these lesser people, you know, and they're not going to see them in their day-to-day lives necessarily because of the way their lifestyles are, if they don't think about them and reach out to them, then they're going to be passing laws that may affect these individuals in a negative fashion, and it be a detriment to society as a whole.
Absolutely. And I think it's very important, Willie, that all of us, especially people in the professional life that can get very caught up in their day-to-day things and dealing with other professionals and other affluent people, to make the effort to spend time with the poor, to get involved with organizations and activities that deal with the poor and the underprivileged and the disenfranchised, so we don't forget that they're there. And at the same time, we're serving them, but we're also helping ourselves by educating ourselves and reminding ourselves of how lucky we are and how blessed we are and how much responsibility we have. Like Jesus said, to him much was given, much will be expected.
And one of the things the church has been a large proponent of, and is basically its theme in reaching out, you know, across the world, all over the globe, is the respect for human life, for the dignity of the person. Everything begins there. Things such as religious freedom, you know, right to, you know, basic human values. And this has been the main message from the church, saying we've got to have that embedded in laws, you know, in government, in everything that affects the people that are governed by these systems. And some systems are totalitarian, some systems are communist, some systems are capitalistic, which could even go to an extreme and be overdeveloped, where consumerism and materialism take over, where again, those in those categories suffer. Do you find that?
I think absolutely, Willie. And we can't lose focus of the human person. The Pope has been very strong about saying that the human dignity of the person is paramount. Once we lose sight of that, sinful things start to happen. We become disordered. We forget what's really important. And bad problems are going to result. And I think that's what we have. I mean, with the abortion issue, what about the unborn child? That's a human being that God has created, that has a soul, that deserves respect, that deserves life. And we're taking that away. It's a terrible situation.
So how do we as lawyers change that? You know, being that we are going to have or can have an ability there dealing with the law and the creation of laws to make a difference, what would you suggest?
Well, I think there's a couple things we can do as attorneys. I mean, first would be in the direct ways to get involved in legislation because, you know, we're familiar with laws. We know how the legislative process works. Contact our representatives, our senators, and people who are making the laws and push forward the things that we feel like God wants and that are going to make a more godly society, and to support candidates that are on that wavelength. And also we can get involved in programs in our community that support those ideals. I think as an attorney or other professional people, you do have a certain weight in the community and a certain respectability that when people see you involved, they say, oh, well, that's something to think about.
Why do you think that there's this lack of moral values in legislation, in law, in politics? Why do you think that that is?
I think that's just a reflection of the general society overall. I don't think it's probably any more or any less than the general society. I think it's probably about the same.
Let's take the Constitution, for example. You know, I've heard it said that one of the problems we have with our Constitution is the interpretation of it. And we're moving further and further away from being a nation of God to being a nation without God.
Yeah, I think that's the problem that we have. I think the Constitution is a wonderful document and it establishes a society. It's probably been the best that there's ever been in the history of humankind. Mm-hmm. The problem has been the interpretation of the Constitution as well as laws that have been implemented since then that deny the basic human dignity that we were talking about earlier.
So there should be more of just my right to this and my right to that, irrespective of the rights of someone else. Sounds like you're saying there needs to be something in there like corresponding responsibilities that go with those rights that we have.
Right. I think the laws have to be clear to preserve individual rights from the abuses of the government. But I think as a society, we need to put forth legislation that promotes the responsibility aspect of it. And we as a church and as individuals have to encourage people to be responsible for their own actions and to build up the better society.
And you said we as a church and we as individuals, we as a group,
mm-hmm.
Do you find it to be a conflict to be a Catholic lawyer doing what it is that you do in your profession and to be a good attorney? Do you find the two to be a conflict?
No, I don't. God needs his workers in every field of life. And he would put you there unless he needed you for something. So as a Catholic and an attorney, we can do a good job that God wants us to do and that we need to do. And so sometimes we have to take stands or not take stands that are contrary to God's will and to moral teaching, but we can always follow our Catholic beliefs. There's never a situation where you have to drop off on your Catholic beliefs. The two have to be in harmony. I don't think we can be schizophrenic and have a dichotomy in our mind where like, well, today I'm an attorney, I can do whatever the heck I want, mm-hmm. regardless of my moral values, and then Sunday I'm in church
right.
following the rules.
What about the concept, Neil, of God's law being in conflict with the law we may have in our society?
Well, I mean, I just reflect back on what Jesus said. He said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. I mean, things involving money that don't involve moral issues, then we have to humble ourselves and obey the laws of society. But laws that are contrary to the will of God, then we have an obligation to refuse to obey those laws. I think it's just that simple. But most of the laws that we have, I don't think are necessarily contrary or put upon us a burden to follow or do something that's contrary to God's will. But if there were a situation that forced us to do something that was contrary to God's will, then we'd have to say no.
Great. Now, you said earlier that you didn't find it inconsistent to be a successful, a good attorney and to also live as a Catholic attorney.
That's right.
Right? You know, you find them to be consistent, you know, and that the law is going along that way or should be taken along that path. So this integration that you're speaking about is something that you have throughout your whole life. Where have you gotten your formation and your spiritual life from? Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. To be honest with you, I think that it came from my family, from my mother and my father and my grandparents, and their faith life and their example. And I've also, I think, just have a gift that God has given me to have this interest and inclination toward understanding, trying to understand His will. And through my life, I've always tried to do scriptural readings and educate myself. And a few years back, when I first came here to Miami, I had an opportunity to meet get involved with a wonderful Marian Sodality, which went through a very excellent educational formation process and ultimately became consecrated to the Virgin Mary. And so I'm a consecrated member of that Sodality now, and consecrated to the Virgin Mary. That's a big part of my life. Mary becomes a very personal thing to you. Helps you out in your day-to-day life.
And why consecration? Explain that a little bit to the audience.
It's just, I won't say a vow, but it's a commitment that, like, I'm saying, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, and Mary's going to be a close personal friend of mine who's going to help bring me to Jesus. certainly not something that takes away from Jesus or from God the Father or the Holy Spirit, but helps and speeds along the process. The analogy has often been used that Mary is like an escalator that brings you up to Jesus as opposed to just taking the stairs.
So it's this call that you're following, you know, the call of Christ, and you're going through the Virgin to Christ, who Christ came to us in the very same fashion. He came through her, and he gave her to us as our mother, all of our mother. And that brings us into that concept of the whole family, and we're all part of one family, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I think like it's a beautiful image that Mary is the mother of all of us. And like the poor, the rich, the people in between, the educated, the uneducated, the intelligent, and not so intelligent, we're all the same. And we need to help each other out as much as we can. You know, from each, whatever you've been given is what's going to be expected to you, of you. And what you need is what you should be given.
And so you look to her as a model. Even though she's a woman, you look to her as a role model for you.
Well, absolutely. I mean, her dedication to Jesus, her humility, and what amazes me about the Virgin Mary is her steadfastness. She is like one of the only people that never left Jesus. She was consistent, she was loyal, she was dedicated. And I think in this day and age, that's what we need. We need dedication to Jesus. And we can't waver, though there's a lot of temptation to waver.
Sure. And is it difficult to walk down that path in today's society?
Well, you and I both know that it's very difficult. There's temptations abound around every corner. But the only way to stay on the path, I think, is to maintain a strong spirituality and a strong prayer life. If you don't pray every day, little by little, the devil can tempt you and lead you astray. If you don't watch your behavior, it can lead you astray. If you don't watch your thoughts and prevent your thoughts from leading into action, things can get out of hand too.
That's really, really, really important. It's an important message to get across. Do you have any other role models, or perhaps maybe a saint that you have a particular close connection with that you look to for this kind of inspiration or this example that you are striving to follow?
Well, to be honest with you, I just follow the image of the Virgin Mary and try to emulate the teachings of Jesus in my life. And those are the things that I try to follow.
And then apply it everywhere. And I know that you spend some time as well working with young kids and with some younger students, helping them to form them as well. So you act as a role model as well.
Right. When I was here in Miami with the Sodality, we had an opportunity to try to educate and form kids. Younger kids, high school students, some young college students as well. Back in Massachusetts, I'm still involved with the CCD program and have an opportunity to try to lead some of those kids. And we also had a very exciting event in Massachusetts a couple months ago, in April actually, called Pilgrimage 2000, which was a tremendous youth gathering in Fenway Park where the Red Sox play.
Wow.
And we went to a long procession from Boston Commons to Fenway. And we had a good group of kids from our parish go. And there was about, I think, 50,000 kids from all over Massachusetts that were there. And even being involved with the Little League team, which were from the parish as well, have an opportunity just to be an example to these kids, to show them, hey, there's a different way to do things.
And what about amongst your peers? You know, your age group, you know, you're at a place in your professional life where you're not exactly beginning and you're not exactly fully established, like, you know, right in the middle of those, you know, beginning stages. And you have a lot of peers amongst you that are really busy in their professional lives. Some are just getting married. They're at that stage. Do you find that a lot of them are trying to live out a well-balanced moral life, or do you find them to lack some kind of moral compass?
I think a lot of people are honestly trying. I just think that society has bombarded them with so many counter-godly ideals that a lot of times people get confused. And if you don't have that sound basis in God, it's easy to get off the track. So for me, I have to keep that base, and I can't ever lose sight of that. And it's easy to lose sight in the wishy-washy things of the day-to-day stuff that we go through. But if we keep focus on God, we'll be all right.
So some of these people, you know, what you're finding amongst a lot of attorneys is that they are trying to live out, you know, a good profession and doing the best that they can for what they know.
Exactly. I think most people try to do the right thing. I think it's a matter of them getting the formation and the education that they need to get a fuller understanding. I think a lot of people, if you get so far removed from the will of God, it's hard to really understand what God really wants of you. And a lot of people don't even think in terms of God. They just go about their own selfish ways. And it's probably a result of either the upbringing or, again, the temptations of society have led them astray.
So after everything we've said, and seeing that attorneys have played such a large role, and they're lacking some direction to do what they need to do, what would you say is a way to get out there and help in this endeavor to make a difference?
I think the best way, Willie, is to practice what you preach. Get out there, volunteer, be involved in organizations, treat everybody with human dignity and respect, be a competent attorney or professional, whatever the case may be, gain the respect of your peers, and then once they have your respect, or they see what you do, when it's, hey, why is this guy doing this? What's he all about? And then maybe from there, they'll have more of an interest. Or maybe you can plant the seed that maybe someone else is going to sow later on.
And how do you balance all of that? I mean, at any point in time in someone's life, you know, they can lose balance. How do you maintain it?
I'm making it by the prayer life. And when I get up in the morning, I pray. When I go to bed at night, I pray. I try to go to confession at least once a month, sometimes every other week if I can, ideally. And to me, confession is a wonderful gift. And some people think that confession is a burden, but for me, it's a tremendous gift. I think all the sacraments are a gift. They're a gift directly from God to help us along the faith journey, keep us on the path. And with confession, it gives you an opportunity to realize where you've gone wrong, try to make promise to do better, and to be relieved of all the burden of the things you've done wrong. In addition to that, you know, I go to retreats. And at least once a year, I have to do spiritual exercises. And as you know, the basis of the spiritual exercise is to really see how you're living your life. Are you living your life the way God wants you to live it? And if not, well, get going on it.
That's a good way to make decisions.
Well, an excellent way to make decisions. Because it's all about looking at what's God's will for me. Because God didn't just create us for no reason. There's a plan He has for each one of us. There's certain things that He wants from us. And we have to just discern what that plan is. In a way, it's liberating because we don't have to create something out of nothing. God already knows what He wants from us. We just got to figure out what that is. And so with the spiritual exercises and the regular prayer life and being open to the will of God, we'll get led to where God wants us to be.
Now, decisions are such a big thing in life. You know, we make a decision of who we're going to marry. We make a decision of what our career is going to be. We make a decision of where we're going to live, what kind of lifestyle we're going to lead, what hobbies we're going to have. And some of these decisions are very critical, and we need a lot of thought in order to know which way to go. What are some tips that you can give in order to make a proper decision?
Well, first thing I would say, if you're in the point of making a decision, don't make it when you're a time of spiritual desolation, when you're feeling bad about yourself and bad about life and bad about everything. Don't make a major decision at that point. Wait till you come out of that, until you're more of a position of strength, a position of consolation.
More clarity.
Right. And keep that always in the spirit of prayer. Always turn it over to God. And tell God, God, I'm trying to figure out what You want from me. I'm not trying to do what's selfish for me, but I'm trying to do what You want. And specifically a couple things that, little tricks or little techniques rather, not tricks, that help come to a holy decision is, again, keep it in the spirit of prayer. Write down the pros and cons. What are the good things about this? What are the negative things about this? Think also, what decision would I would have wanted to make on my deathbed? So in other words, when you're on your deathbed, how would you want to have handled this situation at this moment? I think that really lets you think about, hey, what's the right thing to do? Another way to think of it is, see yourself in front of the pearly gates at Judgment Day. What would you want to tell God how you made this decision, or what your decision was? And would you be happy with the decision that you made? I think another very effective way is to think, how would you advise a friend in the same situation that you're in? If you would tell your friend not to do what you're thinking about doing, then you should really think twice about doing it yourself.
And at this point, you've made a lot of decisions in your life, you know, applying some of these principles to bring you where you're at today. And you've indicated that you've done these things in light of prayer. What are some of the things that you pray for?
To be honest with you, Willie, I'm the kind of person where I try to pray, keep it open to God's will. I pray for the strength and the knowledge to understand what God wants of me, and the strength to do that. I try to stay away from praying for specific things, because to me that becomes, it's easy to start slipping into, well, this is what I want. I try to always say, God, what do You want? Show me the way. And frankly, I've been very fortunate, I think, as God does everybody that has that attitude, He leads you. He shows you the opportunity. He puts you at the crossroads He wants you to be at, and then you make the decisions from there. I see prayer as almost like a gas station. The car is running low, you go to the prayer, and you fill up, and you have that spiritual strength to carry on. And when you have that spiritual strength, you have more clarity, you have more understanding of what God wants of you. At the same time, you have to try to be living a holy life. you can't be out there living a life full of sin. Because when you live a life full of sin, you're not going to see God's will because you have blinders on, the blinders of sin. So you have to keep your life holy and do it in the spirit of prayer.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on Builders of Hope. If you'd like to contact today's guest or myself, email us at our website at buildersofhope.com. We invite you to join us next week when our guest will be Mary McFadden. As a teacher, Mary views her role as more than just teaching the subject matter. She sees it as having an opportunity and a responsibility to form her students as persons.